It's the growing season. My garden's exploding. I see there's fresh corn for sale. I'm going to have to get some on the way home. But heat and light and sun and water and lots of everything. Praise the Lord. So a growing Christian. Last week we talked about a growing church, and praise God, 9 professing new members. I'm just thrilled for you and for the kingdom. Our scripture today is 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 5. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you haven't tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So each of us is at a different place on our Christian path. Some of us have been believers for decades, or what seems like a lifetime, and perhaps we've kind of become content with the level of our spiritual development. Others of us came to the Lord early in life and then stepped away and returned again with a fervent desire to grow in the Lord, perhaps impatient to make up for lost time. And still others are newer to the Christian path and a little unsure, perhaps a little confused about how far and how fast this journey will take them. But no matter where we are as Christians today, the Bible is very clear that where we should be tomorrow and the next day and the day after that lies in relying on God's wisdom and his word. So our verse says that we are to grow up into salvation. We all had a beginning point. We were created in the image of God, and we were born into God's family. But we can't remain in the infant stage, constantly relying on others to feed us and protect us. We have to grow. We're supposed to develop in our faith, become built up in our stature, and become more Christ-like as we grow. But much more important than how tall we become in stature is how deeply rooted we become in our faith. The Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith." Colossians 2, verse 6. Spiritual growth is an ongoing process that involves deepening one's understanding of God's grace and continually developing a closer relationship with Christ. Christian, with Christ. So we look at who we are now, overlaid by who we want to be. We make a mark on the wall where our growth has brought us so far, and then we measure the next step God wants us to take toward him. That way, we're encouraged to go from where we are now forward and upward in our salvation, purposefully living, measuring our growth by wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 24:3 says that by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. So you know who wrote Proverbs? King Solomon. And you remember that King Solomon could have had anything he desired from God, and what he asked for was a double measure of wisdom. Cool, right? The Bible tells us that he used his God-given wisdom to pronounce exemplary judgments, to make dazzling fortunes, to build a wonderful, huge temple. And Solomon wrote that Wisdom is better than strength, better than weapons of war, and better than folly. And finally, Solomon said that the wisest thing, the most important thing, is to live a righteous life. The life we live here, the things that we put our minds to, and the things that we put into our hearts are what we're made of. So in order to grow up into salvation and build our spiritual house, we need to embrace the wisdom of God's word, the understanding of God's grace, and we need to focus on God's purpose and plan. Those three things. So we begin. A growing Christian embraces God's word. You know, just as our physical health requires proper nourishment, our spiritual health thrives when we hunger for the word, when we thirst for the living water. And our scripture advised that we are to crave pure spiritual milk, meaning that our appetite, our genuine longing for God's word is a sign of a healthy and growing faith. Regular engagement with the Bible nurtures our understanding of God himself, of his grace, and of his plans for those called to be his people. And not just casually reading chapter by chapter, book after book, but seeking to properly interpret, to internalize, and to apply the wisdom that we find there. 2 Timothy 2:15 commands this: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, rightly handling the word of truth. Right handling, then, requires an intentional choice to dig into the word and unearth the gems of truth that are meant for us to discover and extract and polish and treasure. Now, Jesus proved the practical importance of living from the Bible, using it in his teachings, and he himself devoted much time to the study of the word. And as he did the work of his Father, Jesus used the word to instruct and encourage others. Every time he taught or rebuked or served or healed or resisted temptation himself or cast out demons, Jesus used references from Scripture to support his actions and teaching. Like Jesus, we need to turn to God's word as the primary source and reference for our decision-making, our judgments, and let God lead, because his ways are higher, his wisdom is loftier, and he's always right. As we read the word, we can see that some of it's remaining hidden, but God has his reasons for what is made manifest and what is remaining as mystery, even if we fail to comprehend why. The Lord reminded us through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His godly wisdom knows what is right, while our human experience doesn't tell us the truth. And that's why we need daily input from Scripture. We need a desire to grow in the knowledge and understanding of God, and we need time spent meditating on God's will for our lives, his plan, his purpose. Dr. Charles Stanley said, if we are truly maturing, our life will be increasingly Christ-like, and our desires will align more closely with God's heart. That said, becoming more Christ-like means that, as we've said, we are focused on God's word and God's ways. To grow deeper in the ways of the love of God, our insight, our interpretation, and our understanding of the truth, all three must deepen. So the more we seek the knowledge of God through Scripture, and the more we share our hearts with God in prayer, the greater our growth and the deeper our understanding. It's just that simple. After all, we have the master plan in our very hands that tells us, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." Revelation 1:3. Amen? So, as we discover what the Bible teaches, literally, historically, and theologically, we realize that it pretty much has one theme: redemption. Man's fall, God's grace. And by God's grace, the rebellious and sinful nature of man is mercifully forgiven. So, we press into His grace so that we can come to appreciate more fully the depth of God's love and His unmerited favor to us, which we did nothing to deserve. Claiming His grace makes us ourselves more loving and forgiving towards others, more sensitive and serving. Because of the gracious outpouring of God's love and blessing, we want to live our lives to please Him. His mercy then allows us to let go of guilt and shame for the sin in our lives that we can't quit and we can't cover. It was the grace of God that provided the one and only way for us to get rid of sin and obtain true life, eternal life. And remember, our ultimate goal is to live a righteous life. When we come in repentance to the cross of Jesus Christ, we are reborn by God's mercy and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity did its work at the moment we came to the Lord in faith. Now we are to build the spiritual house, the living temple, as Paul talks about in Romans 12:1-2. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice and wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That means we offer and consecrate ourselves to God as Christians, yielding ourselves to Him as an instrument of righteousness. We refuse to bend to the ways of the world and instead allow God to reveal to us through testing and trials those spiritual things that we might not otherwise learn. We have to consciously shift our values, our priorities, and our behaviors, and align them with the teachings of Jesus. When the mind is transformed by the Word and the heart is ministered to by the Holy Spirit, that's when we mature in our faith. That's when we receive insight to God's purpose and plan, which is this: for every believer to be a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. That's it. So, when faith is hard, as it sometimes is, when God seems distant, as sometimes happens, that's when we have to lean harder into faith, into obedience, into seeking. Because when we remain steadfast and we do not falter in our faith, that's when we attain growth. You know, in the physical body, the way that muscles grow is by breaking down and rebuilding, breaking down and rebuilding, testing, trials, temptations. Soren Kierkegaard said, "It is better to try something and fail than to try nothing and succeed. The result may be the same, but you won't be." We always grow more through defeats than victories. So we see, it is in our difficulties, our tests and temptations, our trials and turmoils, that God urges us higher. Just as Paul noted in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When we seek to grow and become more mature in our faith, to make progress upward on our Christian path, we soon find out there is no shortcut, no quick fix. There's no single defining aha moment, and there's no gut-wrenching experience that will change everything. It comes to us step by step. If you want to grow and flourish as a Christian, it will come down to a day-to-day commitment that you make, because we have to do the work of our family business of Christians, because we are chosen people belonging to God. And if we belong to Him, if we have truly been born into God's family, we are a brotherhood, and it's our obligation to grow more and more into the image of God's Son. We do this by maturing in our Christian walk, growing in mind, heart, and spirit, immersing ourselves in His Word, maintaining a vibrant prayer and devotion life, and reflecting holy values and godliness in our lives that illuminate us from within. As we grow in our Christianity, we're called to amp up the wattage on the light that we cast into the darkness. You'll find this in the Sermon on the Mount. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's a pretty straightforward charge. For as long as we have life and breath, we are the salt and the light of the earth. So in order that our salt doesn't lose its savor, so that in order that our light doesn't dim in its glow, we need infusions of energy from the gospel truth, from relationship with Christ, and from community with fellow believers. That's what will invigorate our growth. It's an active image. Just as Peter said in our verse, living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A living temple, sacrifices, priestly role. What does that all mean? What do you think that means? How about this? Our priestly role means not only honoring the temple of our heart where the Holy Spirit resides, but taking on the responsibility to represent God's light and love, to carry out acts of service, and to intercede for others. We'll talk about discipleship next week. To do that, it may be an impromptu prayer or word of encouragement or a focused moment of fellowship. It may be stepping up to lay leadership or mission work, using our spiritual gifts or natural talents in some way. But in every respect, our priestly role is our active participation in the upward call of God's redemptive work. Paul reminds us, and we heard this at the opening today, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So as we mature in our faith and our works, God's plans continue to unfold for us. There may be a few detours or side roads, slowdowns or sudden stops, but the critical thing is to maintain forward momentum. Yes, we have been saved by grace, but God then immediately wants us to join Him in the work of sanctification, conforming us to His image so that we can be made holy and set apart for His purpose. This is God's grand plan for his children, the process of maturing in Christ-likeness. It is a lifelong and life-changing journey. As we yield to God's guidance and direction, as we are convicted and quickened by the breath and fire of the Holy Spirit, as we embody our true calling and our work for the kingdom, we then come to understand our identity as chosen and precious children in God's family, reflecting him to the world. So, how is it with your soul? Do you have the energy and inclination to grow up into salvation? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Are you being built up to make holy and acceptable sacrifices? You know that our Methodist theology is built on doctrine and discipline, belief and practice. So too, our Christian growth requires intentional effort and active engagement with God and his word. What's true is that we're never done as Christians. No matter how much we love, we can love more. No matter how much we pray, we can pray more. We can study more, worship more, devote more, learn more, study more, obey more. And we should never be content with where we're at spiritually. We need continued growth and ongoing transformation so that we become more like Jesus in attitude and action. The Barna Research Group found that 63% of Americans identify as Christian, but the percentage of Americans actively following Jesus with a Christian worldview hovers around 4%. Yes, truly, you and I call ourselves within the 63% of Christian believers. But do we belong to the 4% of active followers? We've noted today that spiritual growth is a lifelong journey characterized by consciously embracing God's word, his grace, and his plan as building blocks. Each level of the building relies on the previous one, leading us toward a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God. As we navigate these stages, we can be assured that God is shaping us into mature and faithful followers of Christ. Notice that our scripture uses the words, we are being built. And so, until our final day, we remain a work in progress. Our calling, our charge, is to become stronger, more rooted, more faithful, more fruitful, and more Christ-like, living according to God's word, relying on God's grace, and embracing God's plan and purpose for our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace of salvation that assigned to us the royal family name of Christian. Teach us through your word and your grace to grow as Christians so that we may fully reflect your truth and light in a dark world. Help us to learn, to pray, to study and obey, and according to your will, become more Christ-like in spirit and stature. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.